So, there's a reason behind a lot of what we do, even when it's like a crazy game that seems like it has nothing to do with the lesson. Playing tic-tac-toe with people makes you work together. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about, we started talking about it last week, we're going to start talking more about it today, and we'll talk more about it next week. We're going to talk about working together for the kingdom of God. So it's important that we know how to work together and be part and work together and be respectful of each other and be friends with each other and care about each other, because it's through those things that we're able to actually love others as Christ loves us, which we talked about a few weeks ago, because that's what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. So today, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to talk about us in community doing things together, being committed. So when I was growing up, I loved wrestling. Like, not WWE, but like scholastic wrestling. I wrestled most of my life. And where I grew up, wrestling was a really big deal. Like, people, yeah, it was crazy. My junior high and high school teams, we would practice before school and after school. And so I would have those practices, but I would also then like go home and I would eat dinner if I could, and then I would go for a run by myself because I wanted extra conditioning because I wanted to be better than the other people around me. And while that, like, there's nothing wrong with that, the way in which I committed myself to wrestling, I did it in a way that it was the most important thing in my life. Like, it was my reason for going to school. Like, I didn't like school, but I went to school and I worked hard because I wanted to stay eligible to wrestle. Right? I would or would not hang out with friends based on how my wrestling meets went or how much I weighed because I had to make weight. I would eat or not eat based on wrestling. Everything I did for most of my teen years revolved around the sport of wrestling. Now, there's nothing wrong with being committed to a sport or an instrument or music or drama or anything like that. The problem that I had with wrestling was it took over my life, that it became the most important thing. Wrestling literally became an idol in my life. And that's not good. When we say things like idol, we start to think, oh, that's not good. But think about some of the things you guys are committed to. What are things that you guys are committed to?
Games,
money, drama, eating, what? Practicing? I can't hear. People are yelling. Gymnastics.
Sports and video games.
Sports and video games. Baseball. So none of, but guys, here's the thing. Think about all of those things. School, sports, gymnastics, homework, games. Guys, bring it back in. Bring it back in. Bring it back in. None of those things are bad things. None of them are bad. None of them, nobody is going to say, oh, you did your homework, you naughty girl. Like, no, that would be weird because everybody's supposed to do their homework, right? Oh, you got straight A's? How dare you, right? No, these are all really good things. But here's the problem. When we commit ourselves to those things to the point that they become what we live for, we completely miss the point of why we are here. And we completely miss the point of why we go to school and why God gave us the ability to do gymnastics or sports or music or drama. And so today, we're going to challenge each other to be committed more to Christ and the gospel message, and through that commitment, be committed to all of these other things for the glory of God and for His kingdom. See, where I missed the mark with wrestling was God gave me the ability to be a good wrestler, but I didn't use it for His glory, I used it for my glory. And that's where the issue started to come in. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we started this series in 1 Thessalonians. So we're going back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's in the back of the New Testament. We're going to look at chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. We're going to revisit this letter that Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing. If you have the NIV version of this, Silvanus' name is a much easier name to pronounce. They call him Silas. So I might switch back and forth between the two names because Silas sounds like such a better name than Silvanus. Silvanus kind of sounds like a light bulb. So There's a light bulb. Oh, Sylvania. Sorry. Sylvania. No, that's the light bulb name. Sylvania. Anyway, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. And remember, way back when we started the series, I told you a little bit about how Paul and Timothy and Sylvanus went to Thessalonica, which is the town that the Thessalonians lived in. Right? And they went and they told people about Jesus. And they lived there and they did life with these people and they cared for them and they introduced them to Jesus Christ. And through their efforts, through the Holy Spirit, using them, people in Thessalonica became Christians and they started this church. And these guys are now writing a letter back to the church that they kind of started. I mean, it was God, but God used them to start this church. And so he writes to them and reminds them about some weird things. But what I want you to do is recognize the things that Paul and his friends are saying back to the Thessalonians. Like, some of it's like, well, why would you even have to say that? We'll talk about that. But I want you to listen, especially at the end, for how they actually lived when they were with them. All right? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 3 through 8. It says, "For our appeal does not spring from error or impunity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor do we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." You guys are very distracted. So, there's some weird things in this passage, and there's some things that are kind of obvious, but we're going to walk through this really quickly, and then we're going to talk about how it should impact our lives and what we can learn from it. So in verse 3, Paul starts, I'm just going to say Paul instead of repeating all three names, just so we're clear. The three of them are writing this letter together, but Paul is writing, and he's reminding the Thessalonians about how they came to them and they were purely motivated. There was no greed or impurity or desire to deceive them. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, duh, you're apostles of Jesus. Like, you're telling people about Jesus. Why would you think otherwise? Right? But I want you guys to think about the time in which this letter was written. So, back in this time, there was no such thing as, there was a such thing as electricity. It just hasn't been figured out how to use it yet. So there's no TVs. There were no smartphones. There was, like, you had to talk to people and hang out with people. So, like, when people would gather together, oftentimes, like, there'd be groups of guys or a single guy that would walk into a town, and he would come in and he would gather people in the square and he would talk about something. Sometimes it would be like a comedy show. Sometimes it would be like a news update. Sometimes he'd be there selling something. But most of the time when people came into town, they were there to like make money for themselves or make a name for themselves. And so even if they weren't getting paid to speak, sometimes they would stand up and speak and try to make money by just kind of pulling on their hearts and like giving them some sort of emotional thing, kind of like a dog adoption commercial where it's like, oh, you want a dog, here, take my money. Right? And so these guys would enter town and it would be kind of like that. And so Paul and his friends are writing saying, hey, we came into town, we could have done these things, we could have like taken over, we could have like had you take care of us and pay us and do these things, and it wouldn't have been wrong for us to do, but we didn't want to take away in your minds from what really mattered. Does anybody know what really mattered to Paul, Timothy, and Sylvanus? Why did they go?
Spread the gospel.
So they enter Thessalonica. The Thessalonians live in Thessalonica. I'll keep that straight someday. And they enter the town, and they could have taken advantage of their position as coming in as like entertainment, but they don't. Instead, they stand up and they tell them about Jesus Christ. And not only do they tell them, they start to live in this community, and they start to take care of people in this community, and they start to love on them like Christ loves us. And it was through this that the church was started, and the church was started, and now we have this letter that we get to read thousands of years later of this work that Jesus did through these three guys in this town that started to impact the world around them in this community, and then that community started to live this out, and that community started to impact the communities around them, and it started to spread. Spread to the point that somehow, somebody, somewhere in time, told somebody that somehow created, crossed paths with somebody else in your life who then came to Jesus, who then is raising you or came into your world and started to tell you about Jesus. And all of this stuff is connected. It all comes back to Jesus, what Jesus started with his 12 disciples, and it started to spread out and in these circles. And that's what we see happening. So verse 3 is just simply Paul saying, like, hey, guys, we could have done this, but we didn't. Verses 4 and 5, he continues, like, reassuring the Thessalonians, like, hey, we're legit. We're not here to take advantage of you. We're not here to make you feel good or bad. We simply want you to know Jesus. And so he uses the words that they were approved by God, entrusted with the gospel, and that they were not seeking to please man, but to please God. So if you entered a town and you wanted to make money off of the people, you'd probably be saying things they want to hear. Right? That would make sense. You want them to feel good about themselves. And sometimes I think we fall into that trap where, like, we don't like something because we don't feel good about ourselves after we hear it. And sometimes the Bible can even make us feel that way, like, man, I really got a lot to work on. But instead, when we let it change our lives, when we let it impact us, change starts to happen in our lives, and that change is noticeable. And when that change starts to happen, and we gather together as people changed by Jesus Christ, and we start acting like the church, we start loving on one another, we start changing the world around us. And that's what we see happening with Paul and his friends, and then the whole church of Thessalonica. But anyway, Paul's just reaffirming, like, hey, we don't want fame, we don't want to be remembered, we want you to remember Jesus Christ. Right? The guy that we remember because of what he contributed to Christianity and the spread of Christianity, did not do it so that he would be recorded in the Bible. He did not write this letter thinking, oh, maybe someday somebody will stand up and teach other people about this thing that I'm writing. It had nothing to do with Paul, and it had everything to do with Jesus. Because what we see as we start reading in verses 6 and 7 and 8, so 7 and 8, Paul kind of says some weird things. What we see happening, though, is Paul switches from, like, hey, we're legit, to, like, look how much we care about you. You should know how much we care about you because we share our lives with you. Like, in verse 7, he says, instead of, like, taking advantage of you, he says, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children, which is kind of weird. But as a dad to a nursing child, my wife nurses our 8-month-old, right, that moment that baby is nursing, she's literally sustaining her life. The baby does not nurse, the baby does not eat, the baby, you know, bad news. Caring. So Paul's using this to try to convey a deep sense of love and desire and passion for the well-being of the Thessalonians. That's why he uses this weird wording. And then verse 8, he simply explains it in normal words, but just kind of weirdly, like we wouldn't use today. So it says, being affectionately desirous of you. Like a mother would be affectionately desirous to see her kid live and thrive. Like your parents, think about your parents. Like even when they discipline you because they want what's best for you. They want you to succeed in life. They want you to grow in your walk with Christ. This is why they do what they do. Because they're, what did he say? How did he say? Affectionately desirous of you. And he says, we were ready to share not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves, because you were very dear to us. So when we live with the mindset that we are going to love each other and love those around us so that we can change the world around us, we start to, you know, pray for each other. We start to, like, actually develop a desire and a care for each other. And we start to, you know, impact each other's lives, hold each other accountable. We start to be committed to one another, the church, and we start to be committed to Jesus and his message. So, like, what I stand up here and talk about has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you guys getting to know God more so that in hope you go out and you change the world around this church, the world in your school, the world in your house, because we want you guys to know the joy and life and purpose of walking with Jesus. So here's the thing. Going back to my wrestling career, which ended. It's just that. It ended. I was sold out committed to wrestling. Like Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy were sold out committed to the gospel, right? They left everything. They gave up friends, family. Paul never got married. He wanted to, but he never got married so that he could go out and tell people about Jesus. That's why. That's the root of it. He went out. He started telling people about Jesus. He starts writing letters back to the people that he led to Christ, all because his passion and his desire was to see Christ made known in all things, right? That never ended for Paul. Paul did that until the day that he died. Wrestling, on the other hand, ended for me. When we commit our lives in that level to something that will end, guess what happens to our hope, our dreams, our purposes? There's this void that happens. Because at some point, no matter how good you are, even if you play professionally, at some point the ability will no longer be there. And if your identity and your purpose is wrapped up in sports or music or drama, and that's what your life is about, when that ends, you're not going to know what to do next. And when wrestling ended, I didn't know what to do next. That led to some hard times in my life. But it also, in turn, showed me that if I commit myself with that kind of commitment to God, that same God who made me, who died for me, who's alive for me, cheering me on, hoping that I succeed, giving me what I need to do what he's called me to do, the same God never changes. He was the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. This same God who's calling us to live this way, if we commit ourselves with a depth of sold-out commitment to him and his kingdom, we will never wake up without purpose, hope, or sometimes joy. Right? God's not promised that we'll always be happy, but in Christ, we will be full of joy, even in suffering. It's a crazy thing. But when we commit ourselves with that level of commitment to God, it changes everything. It changes your sports. It changes your music. It changes school. It changes homework. It changes how you interact with your parents. Literally everything. I mean, you can brush your teeth for the glory of God. Sounds weird. But think about it. Everything you do can be sought to honor God because God gave you the ability to stand in front of that bathroom mirror and brush your teeth. Right? There are a lot of people in the world that, you know, lose that ability and they have to have somebody else brush their teeth. It's just a weird example. Point being, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we are called to be that committed to Christ and his gospel. As the church, as us gathered together, we are commanded to be that committed, sold out committed to change the world around us because of the gospel message. So what do you guys think life would be like if we took those things that you said you were committed to earlier, which there's nothing wrong with being committed to those things, and we sought this week to really intentionally use them for God and his kingdom. To say, I'm going to be more committed to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than I am to this sport that may end before I even get to high school. What if the way in which we practice gymnastics, music, sports, do our homework, what if all of those things were done recognizing that it is God in heaven who gave us the ability to do that? What if we go to school and we live out this calling like Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy did? Knowing that as weird as it might be at first, if we start sharing our lives and sharing the gospel with other people around us, they're going to notice something about us. They're going to notice that change inside of us. They're going to notice the love that you have for the people around them. Because really, if you know the gospel message and you want to love those around you, how can you love somebody and not tell them about Jesus? You can't. Being sold out, committed to Christ will make all of the difference. So your challenge this week is to leave here thinking about the things that you already do in your life. If you were in church this morning, Pastor Paul talked about how God has put you where you are for a reason. Right? It ties in really well to what we're talking about. You guys are all in your schools or in your homes or with your circle of friends for a reason, for a purpose. You're all here right now for a reason and a purpose. It's pretty awesome when you stop and think about how God is working those things out. And if we live sold out, committed to him, we can change the world around us. We will change the world around us. Let's pray. God, thank you for the freedom to gather together, to challenge one another, to seek your will in our lives. God, I pray as we go from here, you would give us understanding and clarity of how we can use every situation that you have put us in, whether it's on the sports field, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's at home with our families or hanging out with friends. God, whatever situation we're in, God, would you reveal to us how we can share life and share the gospel with those around us? God, would we be committed, sold out, committed to you and your kingdom, and would everything else we do flow out of that commitment to you? God, we love you, we praise you, and would you lead us and guide us this week as we go? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, everybody, we have 3 minutes until the shuttles start. Here's the deal. All the chairs, all the cups, all the papers need to get cleaned up. Then you're welcome to hang out in the back. If you have questions, you can go play games. If you have questions, come talk to me. come back here today, guys.
Thank you. I can never use it. Yeah. And then there are like two chords on the main stage. Toby.
Toby, why?
Uh-oh.